From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny and near 60 this afternoon, turning partly cloudy with patchy fog tonight in the low around 39. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, gradually becoming sunny and 65. By tomorrow night, remaining clear and 40. By Wednesday, sunny with a high near 70. Wednesday night, clear and 43. 52, KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, another week of Inside Douglas County programs, talking to folks involved in the local area from various vantage points. As we begin today, just getting word of one more case of COVID-19 in Douglas County. That came out just a few minutes ago from the county COVID-19 response team. That means 12 people in Douglas County, one recovered, zero deaths, 416 negative tests for COVID-19. State Representative Cedric Hayden with us this afternoon, and I'm sure you continue to be very busy. I know lawmakers have been involved in lots of conference calls in recent days.
Yeah, that continues on. Thank you for having me on here again, Kyle. And you're right. I just received that same email not too long ago in Douglas County as far as increased case there. And again, no deaths. So that's good to report. We haven't gotten our situational report yet today on our email that we get legislatively, but statewide we've gone a little over 1,000 cases and 27 deaths, and testing continues to be increasing. But what has been really frustrating for me and my fellow lawmakers is that the Oregon Health Authority, through our situational report that we get, has quit giving us information on hospital capacity. And so that's been a frustrating point of contention for us.
And what kind of information were they providing before that they're not providing now?
So till about 4 days ago, they were providing how many adult ICU beds were available, how many non-beds were available, and we were, in the 300 range on ICU beds available and 2,000 range on non-ICU beds, and then you've got NICU or pediatric, small children ICU beds and non-pediatric ICU beds. And then we have, like, ventilators, numbers and things like that. And for reasons beyond my pay grade, OHA and those running this report have decided to put all that information in as pending. Well, I just don't understand why that's pending. They have the information. Why are they not giving it to us? And I haven't been able to get a real good answer on that.
And I would imagine that somebody... a lawmaker, somebody has probably been asking that, but so far no response, huh?
Yeah, we've all been asking that, and the governor has gone quiet about 4 or 5 days ago. We aren't hearing, at least I'm not at my level, hearing from her. As you know, we had a little over 700 ventilators available, and if you go back in time, we were only using about 40 of those, and so they're appeared to be, a significant amount to cover the need. But when we then shut down and close everybody down to the information of what that need is, that creates a concern.
So in these conference calls, you're interacting with lots of different folks throughout the day, correct?
That's right. And so we have generally three conference calls a day that are ongoing, and not three during the weekend anymore. There are a few during the weekends, but I had one this morning, and then the regional one in my area, that would be Lane and Douglas and a few other counties, is this afternoon. And then there is one from the emergency coordinating folks and OHA, and then they bring in different people, like they bring in education when they talked about the distance learning. So they bring in different agency heads on that to give us a report. So we are getting, kind of a broad spectrum of report on daily basis that we're listening to. The only part that we're not getting that kind of dropped off the radar is this whole ventilator beds, the whole basically, the whole reason that we have shut down a significant amount of our businesses is, in theory, to make sure that these beds are available if there is a surge. And so everybody, I think, has participated in that very well. And it's a huge hardship. And then when we get cut off of the information of the reason why we're doing that, it is frustrating to us.
So as you go through these conference calls, are you basically hearing from folks, or as legislators, do you have an opportunity to ask questions, et cetera?
Very limited opportunity to ask questions. The top leadership, or the Speaker of the House and Peter Courtney, the president, and then the caucus leaders individually, minority leaders, do have a little more interaction or access to it. But this is this issue about all these pending reports, and you're starting to see some news articles on it through our frustration. I think the news has been starting to pick up on that. You know, we get 40 minutes on this phone call where the Oregon Health Authority is kind of the main one. You get 40 minutes, and you can email your questions in, and they'll pick some of those emails and answer them, and then they'll take about three questions. And so it's not an open dialogue. You know, one of the things I've emailed in and asked for is when they do the modeling, like trying to guess at, and I understand that's not an exact science. They're doing their best that they can, but I've asked them to, you know, can you provide the modeling county by county, like some of the federal information, and John Hopkins is looking at, I have not been successful with that. They just say, no, this is a statewide modeling, and, you know, they're not doing it by county. I have a hard time believing they're not doing it by county, but they're not releasing it by county would probably be a more accurate statement.
You mentioned, and other folks have talked about this in the last couple of days in particular, that it's been several days since anyone really heard from the governor. Is that surprising?
It is surprising to me. You know, I think publicly the statement has been that she's letting the agencies, you know, answer some of these questions. And that is true, that they're on our conference calls, the agency heads, and that's appropriate. But I think, you know, the lack of information that we're seeing, you know, on hospital capacity, we're really worried about our rural hospitals when, you know, they're doing the social distancing and non-elective treatment and the buildup from oral health to mental health to, you know, just regular physicians not doing the treatments. We're getting a backlog of healthcare being built up that's going to be a second wave of concern, I think, coming our way. The governor should really be out and talking, you know, once a day, every other day, you know, kind of addressing why are we not reporting hospital beds, you know, give some reason to that and give some reason why we're sending 140 ventilators after we just begged, pleaded, and borrowed. And then we sent those to New York. Maybe she has information that's appropriate to do it, but she should be sharing that information, why those decisions are being made, in my opinion.
Now, you're a dentist. Talk about, and of course, if I understand correctly, your current practice involves mainly a lot of surgeries, but talk about that, how that affects you personally.
Yeah, so when I decided to run for the legislature, I was practicing full-time, you know, chairside dentistry, what we call it, and part of my practice was in a hospital setting where I treat a lot of ID or IDD patients, individuals with developmental disabilities, high anxiety, reasons that people can't reasonably see in the dental office. And so when I ran for the legislature, I made the decision that I couldn't do both what I'm, you know, things like what I'm doing now and a full-time practice. So I sold my clinic side, meaning the day-to-day chair side where you go to a brick and mortar. But I did retain the hospital side of that. And I have continued to do that over the last 5-6 years that I've been in the legislature. And what that is it's treatment for oral health, for folks that aren't able to have that done in a regular dental office, brick and mortar setting under general anesthesia, so they're put to sleep. Now, these patients, last week they had to cancel a patient without giving any name, but these patients are people that are with disabilities and they are off state or some combination of caregiver, and they can take us up to 9 months to be able to work through that paperwork. I was talking to admitting last week saying, you know, it took me 9 months to get all the paperwork, you know, state approvals, consents, you know, to take this disabled child to the hospital and treat them. And, you know, they are saying, no, we can't do dental cases right now. I'm like, okay, if that's real, give me the information, right? Give me the real information on the PPEs. You know, have we taken this a step too far in some cases? You know, same thing with our rural communities where they can, you know, they've been doing a great job with the social distancing, you know, no more than 10 or 25 people in an area. I think it's time to, you know, have a little more information to either support continuing that or starting to roll some of that back so we don't build up a backlog, both economic damage in the future and a backlog of mental health, oral health, these physical health things that we're doing, you know, in the name of bending the curve here.
Now, with the elective operations and procedures, different things not being done, does that apply to everything? For instance, are there operations or surgeries that they are elective, but if the person doesn't get this at some point, they're going to get worse? Are we putting some people at risk there by delaying essentially everything right now?
Well, we are putting people at risk by delaying everything. And so that's where I say, what is the balance? And I'm sure all the hospitals are doing the best that they can. These are fantastic people. Because I work in a hospital, I happen to have the phone number of the person that triages those cases and makes the decision. I've had a honest, good conversation. I don't think they're, I think they're approaching it to the best of their ability and very clearly want to get things open back up for their hospitals and for the patients as soon as possible. But they do need to follow the governor's executive order. And so that's why I come back to, it's important for the governor to be out there on a daily basis or every other day saying, you know, it's still important to do this, and here's why, and here's the data, and here's the information, and here's what we're tracking, rather than, you know, dropping off the at least the media for a week. Well, all of this backlog is coming, and so, you know, I feel like we need a little more transparency on how do we balance that. At what point do we say, you know, not just for my practice, but for people out there trying to, you know, run a small restaurant in a rural park that has two or three cases in the county, right? Where do we start to find that balance?
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Representative Cedric Hayden, the interview podcast after one at 541radio.com. We're back in 90 seconds with more of Inside Douglas County, 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. I'll be sitting in for Lisa Platt again this week on Talking Health as we look at the county response to COVID-19. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer and others from the Douglas Public Health Network will be with me. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll be talking to County Commissioner Tim Freeman. State Representative Cedric Hayden this afternoon covering the state response to COVID-19. You mentioned the governor sort of going dark, if you will, and not being out there with the media or with really anyone for several days now. There was a discussion a few days back, maybe a week ago, about the potential for a legislative session. Once more was known about the federal stimulus and some of the opportunities through the CARES legislation. Are you hearing anything more about the potential of a state legislative special session?
Well, we are still hearing about discussions about that. However, the kind of impetus of that or the push for that seems to have peaked, and people are, you know, looking at the CARES Act and what the federal response are, and it seems like that there's a difference of opinion, apparently, I'm assuming here a little bit, between the executive branch and the legislative branch, those in powers, meaning the governor and the supermajority in the legislature. They don't seem to have a meeting of minds here on a special session. So we aren't, you know, even being part of our minority leadership team, we don't have any dates that we're laying out, that we're setting aside time for a potential special session. It is just kind of at first, you know, if you go back a week, they were kind of targeting in on, you know, in the next 10 days, we're going to have this. We're not hearing that. At least I'm not hearing that anymore. So that's why it's, you know, a little unusual that, you know, we're not hearing that. And then the governor has kind of, you know, slipped off the radar here for a bit. We'll see for how long. Kind of leaves, you know, I think the lack of transparency and lack of information, you know, leads to not understanding, or maybe more panic, right? You know, it's going back to that ventilators. We pushed really hard to get that extra 140 ventilators from FEMA. And then my understanding is there wasn't a request to return them. We decided to return them. Again, maybe that's the logical thing, but we should have some data with that, or else it kind of almost looks like a cry wolf type thing. What? And we don't want that.
One of the things that I heard last week, and I can't remember which conversation I was in, but was the idea of whether under the legislative rules, a virtual special session could be held, just from the risks of putting lawmakers who are out there among a lot of folks and coming in from different parts of the state, going back to different parts of the state. Where do things stand on whether that's even technically possible under the rules of which you operate?
Yeah, I think under our Constitution, my understanding is that that isn't an option. And so what was being discussed at the time was, if we do have a special session, that it would be, you know, done voluntarily. And they hoped that they would get enough people there for a quorum to do that, and, you know, would, I guess, separate as much as possible on the House floor. But I haven't heard anything more about trying to do a virtual session. What I'm hearing from information from our chief clerk's office and our leadership is that that option doesn't appear to be on the table to us under our Constitution or against Constitution.
Could that be declared under the emergency situation we're in to allow that? I mean, right now we have school boards, transportation districts, even some city council meetings in different places that are being held virtually now, where people can still go and listen into a meeting and follow Oregon public meeting law. It would seem like if smaller organizations can do that, the state ought to be able to know how and be able to make it happen paperwork-wise.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before on less serious subjects, but us as lawmakers, we're able to write a bill and pass a bill and process a bill, regardless of the constitutionality of that bill, based on either federal or state. And then, you know, if that gets passed, it goes through, and it's up to the courts or anybody that wants to challenge that. So in theory, could the governor make an executive order to have virtual sessions? You know, I'm not an attorney. I do a little better in dentistry than I do in law, but I would guess she could make that and see if it was challenged. But I'm out of my wheelhouse on that question there, Kyle.
Well, and it comes up more and more. I mean, just in the past hour, the British Prime Minister, now in intensive care with coronavirus, and you think about the implications of putting people in power in the same room, it seems like it's a bit of a risky situation.
Yeah, I agree. You know, going back, I think you mentioned this briefly before, going back all the way to, I think it was before the end of the session, we were having a conversation with Patrick Allen. And so, you know, this was like March 4th or March 5th. And I was asking on that phone call, I said, well, you know, in the future, or, you know, if we come back to session, are we going to be able to all be in the same place? Because we were just starting the conversation of social distancing at that point. It was, you know, kind of a joke. But I wasn't meaning it as a joke. It was just kind of taken as a joke because, you know, the Republicans were out of the state for other reasons. But I was serious about that conversation. And so, you know, can we do something separate going forward? We can do stuff with the emergency board, and the governor has a lot of power. The question is, can we actually pass legislation virtually? Not to my knowledge. Again, I is there apparent need for that in a case like this? Yeah, I think that's reasonable, but I couldn't tell you the pathway to get there.
Final thoughts for you in the last 20 seconds about what's ahead in the next few days.
I just want to mention something real quickly here for your CDL drivers out there. There's been an extension for their CDL license for their medical and their drug testing. What's ahead for us is to figure out whether we're going to do a special session and how we're going to approach it.
All right. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
1257 Inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.